so blessed. As I mentioned, we had yesterday a really, really great event that's been going on for years, our ladies' tea party. And I want to say a very special thank you to Amanda and John Carson. Amanda organizing it, John leading the food. Heard a wonderful, wonderful things about it, so praise God and thank you. And we had a really special guest speaker in our ladies' tea party yesterday, all the way from Texas, the far-off land. Hey, we got a lot of Texas going on here in the church. Did Carl leave already this morning? There he is. Carl's in town from Texas. Good to see Carl. No. Carl was not the ladies' tea party speaker. No, that would be weird. We had a great ministry from Sandy Walden, and we're so blessed by her and so blessed by Chappie Dave. Random story here. Yesterday I had, when you have a four-year-old daughter, you just meet strangers because she starts talking to strangers like children are not supposed to do. And so we met this family and was talking with them, and they go, "So what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm the pastor of that church down the street, Living Way Church." And they said, "Like the real pastor?" I was like, I mean, I kind of. And through the course of the conversation, they said, "So do you, does your church like support missionaries? Are you involved in missionaries?" I said, "Absolutely. And not only do we support missionaries, but we were so blessed. Last week, we had a missionary that spoke who's going to Japan in June. And this week, we have missionaries that serve in the islands. They serve in the Caribbean, in Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, in Panama. And they do an amazing ministry there in serving in prisons in these islands. They set up these prison ministries." And they were like, "Wow, that's amazing." And it really is. It's amazing how when you as a church have a heart to reach the nations, have a heart, how God then opens doors to be involved in areas that you would think, "I didn't even know such an idea could exist." But that's what has happened, and we've been so blessed for the past 7-8 years to be able to partner with Chappie Dave and Sandy. And when we found out, we made arrangements for Sandy to speak at the Mother's Day tea, I thought, well, let's have them speak on Sunday as well, and they're going to tag team. They're going to both come up here and bless us for the next few minutes and just talk about whatever God's put on their heart. So I would like you guys to welcome Chappie Dave and Sandy Walden.
Good morning. I have to say, as Pastor did, yesterday was glorious for all my sisters. It was beautifully done. It was attended well. But more than that, every lady there brought the Spirit with them. It was such a Spirit-filled lunch, and it was blessed. And I was so blessed to have been invited to speak. And it was my first time, and I was scared to death, and I didn't pass out. It was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was perfect. But I just wanted to say, which I think we said last time when we were home, that we're home, we can be here more, we can be involved again, to have friends, to have family, to see so many wonderful new faces. It's awesome to see what God's doing. So I just wanted to stay kind of off of what I talked about yesterday. And my theme was Esther for such a time as this. And yes, I was saying it to the women, young and old, married, single, college. It wasn't about me or what pastor does. It's about you. And when Esther was asked to stand up and take a stand against the world, she was asked to tell a king that she was Jewish because he was going to kill her people. And her uncle said to her, "You need to stand up and plead for your people that they would not be killed." And she had a pivotal moment in her life, and she agreed to do it. And because she agreed to do it, God had massive favor, saved her people, and it was grace. So my point to my ladies, who are so much the cornerstone of their families, whether you be a mom, grandmom, or if you're like me, I have adopted kids, so I still think I have kids. It makes no difference. And the men. Right now, what a blessing to be in this world, which is chaotic and horrible and terrible. Because this is our time. And we are called to take a stand for what's right, for what's righteous. And it is not going to be easy. And it is not going to be fun. And we may be set apart again, for we have to absolutely proclaim the name that Jesus is Lord. The end. The end. So I just want to remind us all, wherever you are, whatever you do, you pull up your bootstraps, like my dad would say, the Marine, and you take a stand right now. Get out of your comfort zone. Stand for the Lord. Protect your family. Because the only thing we have in this world is what others see in us. And that's God. And sometimes that's more important than the words we say. Whoa, where'd that come from? Okay. Anyway, but thank you, Jesus, because that is what it is right now. So we love you. We thank you that you've gone through all these years with us abroad. And now that we're home and we can have family again. Thank you. We love you. It's for him.
First, I want to give you just a quick brief. I was at the hospital this morning meeting to check up on Mark de la Cruz. And as many of you know, Mark had an incident again last night, 911. And Pastor, you probably already mentioned that, but I'm just going to share with you that I went to the hospital early this morning and, you know, being the chaplain there for 12 years and kind of know the strings, I don't get permission. I just go. And went into the ICU. And I went to the front desk, and some of the nurses still know me. And, oh, Chappie. And they said, oh, Chappie. And I hear this voice in the back, room number two, right? Chappie Dave! I'm going, yo, there's Mark, right? And so I went back. Mark's sitting up in the bed. Now, this man's sick, guys. You know, we all know the situation. And all he wanted to tell, and we prayed, but all he wanted me to tell you people is that he says, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I saw it in his eyes. He is a tremendous man of God who God opened the door for us to meet here when I met Pastor Doug back in 1995 and was able to work with the hospital district and God used me to actually establish a chaplaincy program because there was no chaplaincy program at the Palomar-Palmer Health District at that time. So I was able to be, God used me to establish the program, and I brought volunteers and trained them, and Mark was one of my key guys that he turned out to be my chaplain coordinator. Tremendous gift to 24/7, served faithfully in that chaplaincy role out there, and Mark and his wife Lisa helps us tremendous. She's our base here in San Diego that helps our ministry, our moat ministry, doing all the administration. She's a detailed lady. Okay? Now, that's the topic of today's message about two women. There's two women, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Lisa reminds me of like the woman in the Old Testament. And then the woman in the New Testament is my wife. And we'll talk about those two in a minute from Genesis chapter 2. But I wanted to share with you that it's a real privilege to be here. Sandy and I are very blessed to continue our ministry work in the five different countries. Here, California is considered one of them because our after-school homework plug programs are very popular here as well. The doors have opened for the school district to say they want us to start another homework club at Midland Elementary School. So I know that door's open, people, for this California school district to have a Christian-based program on the public school campuses. Hello? Valley Elementary School, yeah. Valley Elementary School is going on 17 years now, and it's a Christ-centered program. It's really, really, and I can tell you, Christy Bradley is a tremendous leader. What a woman of God. And what she did at Midland Elementary School for those many, many years, and then shifting because the district kind of made a real kind of but now it's coming back, and they want us back. They need that program back at that middle and elementary school. So I just put that out there, and the Lord is going to hand, he's going to work out his details. All right. Goodness, let's pray. You are a good God. You are so amazing how you work in the lives of your children. We praise you, God. We love you and we thank you for the works that you do in our lives as you change us to become more like you day by day, Jesus. We want to be like you. We want to be like you. We want to see others more important than ourselves. We want to be the light, Lord. We want to be a voice to encourage and to love and to encourage those who need encouragement. Thank you for giving us our gifts, Lord. Each one of us having a gift. We are the body of Christ. We, each one of us, Lord, no one's more important than each other. No one's special. Nobody's bigger than anybody else, Father. We are all your children with gifts to be used, to be the light, to bring people to the knowledge and the saving grace of Jesus, Lord. That's our purpose. We thank you, God, for this church. We thank you for the leadership here. We thank you, God, for the tremendous legacy that this church has in sending missionaries around this world, 40 plus years. Oh my gosh, Lord, what a tremendous legacy this church has. We are blessed, oh God, to be a part. Sandy and I are like, thank you, Father, for letting us be a part here. And Lord, I pray that you open our minds now. Open our minds, Lord, to receive your word, to strengthen us, Lord, to recognize the value and the peculiarity, Lord, of women from men. Oh my gosh. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open to Genesis chapter 2, I'll begin there, and I'll be looking then also in Luke chapter 23 and chapter 24. So if you'll bear with me while I get my glasses, because I'm old. Genesis chapter 2. Interesting story here. The key word today is about suitable, being suitable. Women are suitable. What does that word mean, and how does it play in our message today? Suitable helper. Suitable helper. Let us look together in Genesis chapter 2. And as we look into verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20 and following. So the man gave names to all the livestock, birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to go into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Woo! This woman. God created man and made man the way he is. And it's interesting to see that God observed in this story, God observed that man was lacking something. Man was lacking something. Man was having a great time out there with the cattle and the donkeys and all that on the creation, but something's missing here. So since man likes to sleep, that's really the thing of men, you know. We like to be in our nothing box. What are you doing today, honey? Nothing. How you doing, honey? I'm nothing. I'm in my happy box. I'm nothing. Oh, good. God said you need a suitable helper. And as we look in the scripture here, we see that in verse chapter 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals of the Lord, and the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? Now here we go. Satan doesn't go to the man. And some theologian recognize that that might be because women are weaker. I disagree. The enemy is very wise, very crafty. He knows that the man liked to sleep. And he knows that the woman is a detail lady. Women are detail. Notice what happened. When the serpent went to the man, if he had gone to the man, I'm postulating here. It's like, if the serpent had gone to the man, and he says, you know, God didn't really do that. And the man would go, really? Oh, I never thought about that. Huh. Not the woman, though. Look at the response from the woman. God said, now the serpent was more crafty than the other wild animals of the Lord God made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden? Here's the response from the woman. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree. Notice the details that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, details, and you will die. Interesting that in this mind of the woman, which if there's anybody here who's ever seen the video that was done by a college professor on a marriage counseling, anybody seen that one on the Nothing Box? Oh my gosh. Here's a professor with a group of marriage people. It's a marriage counseling, Christian counseling session, and there's about, you know, 300 women and men in there. And he's standing up here, and he's got a statue of a head of a man here, and he's got a statue of a woman over here. And he's talking between the two of them. And he goes to the man, and he goes, what are you doing? He's talking to the head. Nothing. What are you doing? I'm in my nothing box. Are you okay there? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Good. Oh. Goes back over to the woman. Goes, what are you doing? Oh, I've got this going. These pistons are firing off. I got this detail. I got this. I got to do this. I got da, 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 da. Do you have a nothing box? What? Nothing. I have not. What? Oh, I'm good detail. I got this. Da, 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 da. Oh. Hey, man, what you doing? Oh, nothing. I'm doing fine. Oh. You get the picture? God created our partners because they are very gifted and they're in tune with details. We men need to learn how blessed we are to have this suitable helpmate that God has designed to be the ones who keep those things going. They're organized. They're detailed. Oh my gosh, they don't miss a blip. They got it. Notice with me as we turn to Luke in the New Testament about the women at the crucifixion. Interesting thing happening here in Luke chapter 23:24. The women, the men, and the apostles. Following in verse chapter 23, verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid, and they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. Let's take a look at the context here. This is happening on Friday night. This is the crucifixion has happened. This is late in the evening. The apostles and the men, other than this one man here, Joseph of Arimathea, courage. This man had courage to go and ask for Jesus' body. Because at that time, we're talking persecution. And if you're identified as a Christian in that, at that time, at that day, oh my. You're going to be crucified. I mean, this is what's going on. Joseph Arimathea says, hey, I'm going to get the body. He stepped forward. But notice who's with him. Where are the apostles? These are the men who saw Jesus walk on water, raise people from the dead, heal the sick, do the incredible miraculous things that Jesus said he was going to do. And Jesus said, on the third day, I will rise. He told them that. Where are the apostles? They're hiding. They bailed. What were the women doing? They're preparing their detail. They remembered what Jesus said. Continuing in chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They went right into the dead man. They leaned into it, right? They walked by faith in the authority of God. There was no fear because they believed, they knew. They were confident. They stood right in the midst where, imagine, this is where all the military protection around that area, they went there. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. Then, verse 8, then they, the women, remembered his words. Mark chapter 8, 31 and others. The men, the apostles, were there with him. The women remembered. They remember, right? Our ladies don't forget. Can I get an amen, men? Praise God for that. I thank God for my Sandy. And many of you know my story, some of you don't, but boy, I'll tell you what, I was rescued off the street back in 84 because I was homeless. And I had another story, but I'll tell you what, when God put that woman in my life, right, and she stepped forward where you don't normally step forward, and she said, I'll help you out. I'll help you out. And she had a heart for the Lord Jesus, okay? And at the point, and that particular time in my life, I had just come to the Lord a year earlier, but had no idea what, you know what I mean? I had no idea. But when I met her, and he asked me what I do, and when I said, well, you know, I asked God for direction, I prayed, oh, you're a believer? Yeah. Well, right off the bat, boom, right? Boom. All we did was talk about Jesus. All we did was talk about Jesus. And we became best friends, right? And she said, hey, look, you know, I think I love you, you know? I'm looking at her. She's a cute little, you know, Betty Boop, right? Woo! I say, yeah, I love you. And she goes, yeah, you know, I got you too. I said, let's grow old together. I'll take care of you. You take care of me. Deal? Yeah. We got married. Right there, right? 1985, right? And God did a mighty work in me that I needed desperately. Because I was, and this Marine, this woman, this Joanna, this Mary Magdalena, this woman who was not afraid to go into the dark downtown, dark areas of Anaheim and rescue this guy, was just like these women, who their faith was powerful. Faith is action. It wasn't just going to, it was action, right? It was action. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I heard him say it. I saw him. And that is what I know. I know. It drives me. It drove those women. They went into that tomb, and look what happened in chapter 24 in verse, here we go, verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. And the women said, oh yeah, they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, the apostles. She found him hiding in the upper room. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalena, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Oh, verse 11, heavy. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Oh, oh. Men, men, how dare us? God created man to be the head, to be that leader, to be the one who sets the example for his wife. And what do? We cower. How dare you? Men, step up. Step up. You love that wife. You care. You cherish her. You've got a girlfriend. You respect her. You open that door for her. You set an example to others around you to say, whoa, that man's a man of integrity. That man has got, whoa, that's different. You know, you set that example in this community, you will see a change. Men, take responsibility. And I'm talking to the choir here, men, because I know most of you do that. But those of you who do not, you get on the wagon here and come back and go, you know what? I got to be a man of integrity. I got to be a man of compassion. I got to step up. It's time for the church men to step up and not cower like those apostles did. You know why? They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them at that time. You do. You are without excuse. And God will hold you accountable. We must be leaders of our homes. We must first, as men, set that example to our wives first. Our first ministry is to our wives. First ministry. My ministry is to Sandy, period. Number one, she's first. When she's good, I'm good. She not good, I'm not good. Men, can I get an amen? You want to have a happy marriage? Make sure that lady is right. It's not a matter who's right. 99% of the time, men, we're wrong. Why? Because God created a suitable helper. He knows what he's doing. They are wired differently. Praise God for that. Because they do think about those things. They get those things. They're nesters. You know what I mean? They just do that. It just comes. That's what they do. We can learn so much in our own lives by taking what they've been given and be able to apply that into our lives, and we can become men of organization. You know, I'll tell you, when I was going through my doctorate work, I was getting a doctorate in organizational systems and global contextual studies. And I wanted to quit so many times. Oh, my God. 5 years, right? Sandy would come into my room and she, you get back in there. She heard from God that you're supposed to do this. And through her leadership of putting me back on track, that God has used that doctorate thing, you know? I mean, I wasn't looking for no doctor thing, you know what I mean? Come on. I'm not your scholar type, okay? I'm your practical guy. But God, you know, has a plan here. And because of that, God used Sandy to put leadership, put organization into my mindset, right? Application, right? To where I was able to take those ideas and work in collaboration and work with communities and work with prisons and work with areas where we got people together and transform La Mesa Penitentiary. In 2002, I mean, truly transformation through that work of working together and getting that prison to now be the model prison of Mexico. Hello? Dominican Republic hears about what we're doing. Say, Dr. Chappie, will you come out here and do this? Okay. Showed up over there 10 years later. We're in every national city in Dominican Republic in all their major prisons. And we've got thousands of men coming to Christ. Thousands. And we've got 320 churches involved out there. Panama. Oh, I can't even begin to tell you. What is really exciting is Puerto Rico. Oh my gosh, that's a American territory, right? And their prisons out there are kind of like, and it doesn't work. By God's grace, God has opened the door for us to start our work there in Dominican, Puerto Rico now. They've talked to Dominican Republic people, go, whoa, that's, we got to have that. On June 7th, I'm meeting with the governor of Puerto Rico, and he's blessing the programs that we're doing now in every single one of their prisons in Puerto Rico. We're going to reach up. We're going to, but it's because this little lady over here put order into my life. Just like these ladies here, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we work in unity as a couple, as a team, right? God will use you mightily. Oh my gosh. So in conclusion, and I could certainly go on and on and on, but I won't because it's time. Look, be strong and very courageous. You know that message that was given to Joshua, Joshua 1, 5, 6, 7, right? Be strong and very courageous, men. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Keep your focus here, right? See that lady of yours as a gift from God, as the suitable helper. The suitable helper. We are blessed, men, to have women in our life. And on this Mother's Day, more than ever, grandmas, thank you. Daughters, thank you. And women who are young adults, if you're 10, if you can be, can get this message, if you're 10 to 24 years old and you're single, you are a blessed woman. God's gifted you very specially. Use those gifts to be a good example to others. Do not compromise. Don't compromise. You look for a man of integrity. You expect the best. You want the best. We need the best to be out there being a light to our community to set a good example and say, oh, those people, they're followers of Jesus. I want to be like that. That is what we must do. Amen? I can't hear you. What? What? Amen. Gloria a Dios. Amen.